at 7:33. Before we continue, what we're going to get into next is the financial side of DARE. Committee, I know, has questions that they have prepared, some members. Some questions will be similar to, similar or the same as questions asked at last month's meeting. As I think everybody knows who's in the room tonight, this has been reported quite extensively in the news. Some have gone as far as saying that this program is solely under the Sheriff's Department and not subject to review from the County Board. I just want to read for the committee and for the public tonight an opinion from Corporation Counsel regarding the DARE program and the oversight that the County Board has. The DARE program is considered a law enforcement activity intended to steer youth away from drug use, thereby lowering a multitude of destructive and criminal behaviors and activities. We do not believe that the day-to-day program administration is under the purview of the County Board. Having said that, however, we do believe that as a county program, it is subject to having its finances reviewed by the administration and the County Board in the same way that it could be selected as a program examined as part of our annual outside audit. The County Board can ask for information on how funds are received and expended and ensure all appropriate accounting practices or internal controls are being followed. Further, I want to clarify for myself, I have not told anyone of the media or my constituents or really anybody that DARE is a bad program or that DARE needs to go away. I think that is being thrown out in the community, that the County Board, specifically this committee, wants to do away with DARE. I don't think that's appropriate to say. I have not seen any inclinations of that. Further, I know Supervisor Decker has been singled out in some news media for being one of those proponents of getting rid of DARE. I find that suspect, and I'm not sure who's promoting that line of thought, but correct me if I'm wrong, Supervisor Decker, you and your husband have been longtime proponents of DARE, donating prizes for the DARE golf outing from your business.
That's correct.
So I just wanted to put that out there before we start. I guess we'll start. Sheriff Beth, you handed out some papers earlier. We'll start with that if you want to just dive into that, and then
absolutely.
We'll go.
Absolutely. One of the questions I was told came up at the last meeting was the Concerned Citizens Coalition. The first page is the current, well, pretty much the current board members. As you can see on here, Supervisor Wemble was the chair prior to me, and I'm sure you can answer some questions if you needed to or verify whatever I say. But you have some of the agendas in here. We meet quarterly, we have an annual meeting, some of the minutes that are in here. I guess even the Concerned Citizens Coalition was called into question about its legitimacy. You can see some of the people that are on the committee. I mean, they're leaders of the community. We've even got Rita Brown, Mike Bravely, Pat Demas, who is retired from the KUSD. But then the budget, currently the budget for that was just discussed on August 1st is, I don't know, pages aren't marked here, but that's in there on the back side of one of the agenda meetings. And then it was also brought up of the, is the Concerned Citizens Coalition legitimate? Is it filed taxes? Well, the very next day, Angela went online and found the last 10 years worth of taxes because it's, if I remember the number right, if it does under $25,000, all it's got to do is do a postcard. And all those postcards are current and up to date, and those are copies of what the federal government, if you go online, you can find all of those. It then goes into the Concerned Citizens Coalition, and the mission goes into a history all the way from 1987 and gives highlights of each of the years. It tells you who the MCs and honorary chairs are each of the years to host the Red Ribbon. One of the major things that the Concerned Citizens Coalition does is it puts on the Red Ribbon Week. And most all of you have heard of the Red Ribbon Week. And it's a week-long event. The kids get they used to get ribbons with a pin, and finally they got, teachers got tired of kids bleeding because they got stabbed with pens. And so they wanted, then they went to pencils, and now they do the rubber wristbands, and they do other things. They have a big event, the honorary chair comes and says a few words, and I go to each one of them, and it goes to the essay, not the essay winners, the slogan winners school. So this year it's the Stand With Me and Be Drug Free. The slogan winner is Natalie from Jeffrey Elementary. And in your booklet, after you see the history, is basically this booklet in black and white, what they put out. This is one of the printing things that they do. And it lists on the very back of it Red Ribbon Week and what the activities are. One of the other things also in your book in black and white is the coalition puts out is Our Children, Parties, and the Law. And this gets updated every couple of years and gets shipped out. And again, you can see it in the back of your little booklet that I handed out to you.
What does that go to?
It goes to the schools.
Okay, and then it's available for parents?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It goes a lot more than that, though.
Right.
Okay. So.
These get handed out. Yeah, it goes out to different functions. Like if they go to,
we get a whole bunch, and everywhere I go, every presentation I give, practically, we can hand those out.
So there's in the sheriff's or the police department.
Yeah.
Other community organizations then may have that. Mm-hmm. Okay.
One of the other things they do about every 3-4 years is they call it the Yellow Book, and the Yellow Book has activities. Have you ever gone someplace and heard a parent say or a kid say, there's nothing here to do in Kenosha? Well, the coalition years ago must have got tired of hearing that, because they put together a book of with a calendar of the different activities that happen throughout Kenosha. It lists all the different people and businesses, and even Six Flags is so many miles away. Wilmot Mountain during wintertime coming to. You've got boating, you've got all the different things that you can do, the velodrome, and they do some people, I don't think we do any advertising, Jeff, they don't advertise in there, mm-hmm. But if a business has something that's going on, they can put that in the book, and then they hand it out at the schools, and they hand it out different places. Some of you may have seen, is it Everything Under the Sun? That's what they call it, and it's for Kenosha, and it's a booklet, it's actually pretty thick. And it just lists all the activities and things you can do, going to a Brewers game, going to a Cubs game, going to plays, and where the theaters are, and phone numbers and contacts. And that's another book that they put out every, like I said, every 3-4 years they update it, and they ship it out to all the schools and all the different places and put them out for different people. So that's one of the other things that the Concerned Citizens Coalition does. So I just want to get that out. They are current in their taxes. These are the people that are on the board, or pretty close to who are on the board, and history. So that's the Concerned Citizens Coalition.
Any questions regarding this? And I do want to note, Sheriff, myself and others were not able to locate the tax filings on the website. If that's, you can't control the IRS website, that's not on you. But I know that multiple attempts were made, could not find this information. And the link that was provided to the news from yourself didn't work either. Again, that might be on their end, but I do appreciate you bringing this information with us tonight.
Yeah, I would have been just like you. I rely on people younger than me that are really good at computers to do.
All right, moving on. I know that at least two of the supervisors on the committee have a list of questions that they want to ask. I suspect that we'll take some time for each of them. Are there any other committee members who have questions to start? Supervisor Basha, we start with you last time, so I will start with Supervisor Decker.
He can go first. That's
okay. Supervisor Basha, you have a
question. Age before beauty. So thank you, and I appreciate the overview and the update on Concerned Citizens. How is DARE formatted? Is it a nonprofit program, or how is it defined? Is it part of the county budget directly? Is that?
No, it's not part of the county budget. The only part of the county budget is the deputy that's assigned to it.
Okay. So all funds for DARE are abstract from county resources, other than the officer that is?
Yeah, all the, what we did years ago when I was still in it, our line item for funding for the Deputy Friendly and the DARE program almost didn't exist. Mm-hmm. The owner of Twin Lakes Country Club approached me about 2 years into it, and he said one of his kids went through the DARE program. He said, let's do a golf outing and raise money. Mm-hmm. So I said, okay. So this would have been about in, you know, 92. And we had our first DARE golf outing. And we started off, it helped subsidize the Sheriff's Department. We found that year, we found when we had a lot of officers, the city, and I pick on you, Jeff, because this was before you, but the city actually put money into their line item to buy sweatpants for the instructors and buy different things. And we had nothing. So we went out, we started the DARE golf outing, and we started, and that was about the time when the city got out of it too. So it worked out perfectly. And we were able to help subsidize the DARE program through the DARE golf outing. And that golf outing has continued to grow. And I know one of the questions was, a few years back, we didn't have as much money. Well, that was before COVID, and the DARE program has continued to grow. The DARE program has grown to its largest golf outing in Kenosha County, period. And they fill two golf courses. And they have, everybody who wants to come back comes back to the Twin Lakes Country Club, eats dinner, and they do raffle prizes, and then they head out.
So it's a self-funded program, essentially, is what you're saying?
All materials are self-funded, yep.
Okay. Materials and activities, yep, events, et cetera. Training education for the officers is self-funded through DARE as well?
Yep.
Okay. That answers my question on how the budget is allocated and how it's resourced, because it was unclear during the last discussion, so was trying to understand where that was.
Okay.
When you look at the budget, though, all the funding sources come through the golf outing, or are there other funding sources? Are there
sometimes people make a donation? We'll just get a letter from somebody and said, my kids went through the DARE program. Here's $100.
It's kind of nice.
Very nice.
Had somebody recently say, well, can I contribute to your campaign? I said, I'm always collecting. It always works.
Mm-hmm.
Who's authorized to allocate the funds for DARE? How does that work?
Spend them.
Yeah.
Usually it comes from a request from maybe the DARE officer, or one of the supervisors has an idea, or it could come from me. And then it goes through the entire group, not the entire group, not the DARE officers. It all depends which way it goes. Then we decide where it gets spent.
Entire group. It's one DARE officer and yourself.
There's a deputy friendly, there's a part-time officer, there's a sergeant, there's a lieutenant, the captain, the chief deputy, and myself.
Okay, so there's an approval matrix that includes a broader group.
Usually.
Yeah, so the deputy friendly can't authorize purchases without going through the chain of command from the DARE officer. Right? It goes up the chain.
Okay. I think we'll come back to that a little later. Takes care of the approval process, and I appreciate the understanding there. I asked about marketing materials earlier because I see a lot of, I'll call them gifts to teachers, gifts to officers, gifts like that. How does that operate within the DARE program? What's the strategic purpose or benefit for that?
Well, not gifts to the students. So the teachers give up their time. And usually at the end of every DARE graduation, the teacher, the administrator will get something. They'll get a mug, they'll get a umbrella, they'll get a t-shirt or maybe a sweatshirt sometime.
So it's seen as a recognition reward scenario?
Yeah, we want people to keep the DARE program going. We believe in it.
Okay. I asked for an update on each donation provided to other organizations, but I think we'll come back to that in a minute, because it's interesting that funds are coming in to DARE within the it's county money. Once it comes in, it's part of your budget, basically. It's in a line item in your books. And then being resourced back out to other organizations as gifts, grants, things like that. Is there a purpose, a reason? Why are we utilizing DARE funds to fund other organizations?
We use funds to support children of our community. And if we can raise money and help with the Red Ribbon Week, which specifically deals with not taking drugs, that's what we do. And that's one of the things that the Concerned Citizens Coalition is part of, so we donate to that. Years back, the Frank Neighborhood Project, which was run by Pastor Harris and Heather Connolly, and I had the chance to teach at that school. And I found how desperate some of those kids are. And every spring, I would invite the Frank kids out to my farm. And we'd have about 150 kids bussed out to our farm, and they would pet and feed the horses. We'd give them a hayride to the neighbor's dairy farm. We would put on a moonwalk for them. We fed them. We played basketball at the basketball hoop. And we did a lot of things to show these inner city kids what it was like to live in the county. One girl at first wouldn't even get off the bus because they parked in the grass, and she's never stepped on grass before. And before the end of every, my wife and I would always say goodbye to all the kids and all the parents that came, which weren't usually a lot. And one of them would, almost every time, would go, "I wish you were my mom," or "I wish, you know, I could live here." And my wife was always crying by the end. So we continued that tradition until COVID hit, and we continued to bring those kids out to our farm. And so those are different things that we will support.
Okay. So you could say one of the objectives of DARE is to humanize police in the eyes of the students that they're impacting? Because we hear a lot in the press and the media about dehumanizing that relationship. Make you the bad guys, not the good guys.
Yeah, that's part of it. That's why we're in the schools, and that's why when we go into the inner city schools, when you first meet some of these kids in the inner city schools, they want nothing to do with you because their family has taught them to not work with police officers. I learned going into the city of Kenosha, and this goes back to between west of the eye and east of the eye. One of my first classes is kind of an icebreaker. You get to talk to them. It never failed where they go, "Hey, do you know my dad?" And what are they going to ask you, Jeff?
Well, I know what they're going to ask.
Go ahead. I don't know him. How would I know him? Well, he's in your jail. And west of the eye, they ask you all kinds of other questions about you growing up or where do you live. But yeah, making the police officers seem like they're part of the group is definitely one of the things. I had at Trevor Grade School, I had one of the kids, as I walked past the very first time, "I hate effing cops." And by the third time class that I had, he was helping me carry stuff out to the car. So there's a lot of, if you're a DARE instructor, you have a lot of stories that, or anything with kids, you get a lot of stories that you remember forever. And the impression that you make on these kids goes a long way for a very, very long time.
So we've heard we don't have enough officers to it. The Fed took money away. The city got out of it. We went from 3631 officer assigned directly to it. It's a self-funded organization. The golf outing is the primary area that you're funding it from. What is a ratio of return on investment? Last time I asked about the P&L for the golf outing. How much do you expect to take in versus expenditures to host the golf outing?
We never really have an expected amount, whatever we bring in. And lately we've been doing okay with it.
What is okay?
we're doing better than what our expenses are.
Okay. I looked up what customarily would be in a number, and there's variations in it. Some are 10% cost to return. Others are 30% cost to return. Consultants say you should be less than one-third cost to the return. The golf outing is about 50% cost to income. So it's a very expensive, the way it's assembled or put on. It sounds like a great event. I've been to great events. I've paid for and sponsored them, but the ROI is a little bit off, so I was curious about that. And the reason I asked about training programs and things like that, expenditures related to DARE initiatives, specific students, specific activities, range from 12% per annum to 23% at the high. The high was in 2019. So of all the funds that come into the DARE program, direct to students, expenditures related specifically to, and it may not be perfect. I asked accounting to go through and make their best guesses on some of them and assumptions, but lowest was 12, highest was 23%. Of the resources that DARE takes in went directly towards student-based programs or activities. Whereas 47% went to the golf outing of the funds that came in. To me, it struck me as an imbalance. Is there a way to do the golf outing in a manner that it is a charitable event? I get that, it's a charity event. You have a great auction, a great raffle, and that those are fundraisers. Most raffle items I've done for golf outings were donated items. So I didn't have to buy, I didn't have to fund, I didn't put money into them. And I've done quite a few through my business through years. Just some things that struck me as I went through the numbers as DARE is a great program, why aren't we putting more of the resource toward the program and less of the resource toward the golf outing and other gift items and things like that? So that's what my takeaway was as I went through the numbers. Any comment or
no?
Just the numbers. Okay. Back to the chair.
Mr. Decker?
Does anyone have any questions before I ask mine? Okay. So I sent an email earlier today with the question, said, don't know if you had time to research anything that I asked. So if you didn't, that's fine. But on August 3rd, I did ask for the donors and attendees as far back as the records go, and I asked for an Excel file. I haven't gotten that yet, so I would like to get a copy of that. And then on August...
thought you just handed those out.
Yeah, I asked for an Excel file, not a printout.
I don't think we have it in an Excel file. They just print it out. They print the flyer, but you have it what they have.
You don't keep track of your donors on a spreadsheet?
No. You have it right there in the sheet.
We have sheets. You can come over and get the stack this day.
Okay. Okay, all right. I had emailed on August 5th and asked in November 2021, there was a $4,687.40 expense for KSD can coolers. Mm-hmm. What were those?
Yeah, I actually called you and left a message for you. So
I did not get that. It's funny how people call me.
Your voicemail answered. I recognize your voice. That was for what we did is, that was at the, we bought some equipment for all the employees at the Sheriff's Department. They were a cooler. And we, at that point, we had gone through riots. We've been going through COVID. And a lot of our employees don't get a chance to go eat. They couldn't go to restaurants. They couldn't go to, they couldn't go a lot of places. And our deputies on the road are expected to, if there's calls, they're expected to stay on the road. They don't get a chance to take a break. Our correctional officers, especially during COVID, weren't always allowed to go and eat in the break room. So they sat for 12-hour shifts, and this gave them something to keep their food cold or hot, whatever they had, and that's what we purchased for.
So, to me, that is not a DARE expense. That doesn't go towards Deputy Friendly or DARE. And that's an issue with me, that the golf outing says it's for DARE and Deputy Friendly programs, and yet money for that is in the DARE account is being used for non-DARE and Deputy Friendly things. So that's an issue. You had talked about the Frank Neighborhood Project before. In 2008, the DARE account donated $13,880. What was that for?
That was for a transport van, so that Pastor Harris could haul kids back and forth to different functions. He would do programs at the YMCA, and he would take kids from the Frank neighborhood and take them up to the Y. So we actually ended up purchasing one of the counties, I think it was from Brookside or something, a bus for them so they could do that.
Okay. That was in like, I guess that was several different line items, so it's odd that it was, in my opinion, it was odd that it was just went for one bus. Okay.
I don't know the dollar amount.
That's fine.
I'm winging it.
Yep.
I'm just going by what you say.
Yep. Okay. And this has nothing to do with what the purchase is used for, because obviously it was used to purchase deer prizes. My issue is there was several years there were expenses. One of them, several of them were, it was said that it was a Kenosha County Sheriff's Department. That's who it was made out to. And that it was for deer golf outing prizes. And then there were also expenses, it says, to Johnson Bank for deer golf outing prizes. How was that money given to whoever to purchase prizes? Do you know?
Do you know that one? Do you have that one?
I think those expenses are prior to
2016. Yes. Yeah. It was two, because currently now it's, I don't know, you're reimbursed. So my question.
Right. So I think,
if you don't know yet, can you look it up and find out?
I can try.
Okay.
But back that far.
Justin, you have the answer?
I don't know if we have any of those records.
I don't know that there's anyone in this room that will be able to answer that far back.
Okay.
Because again, that was the previous accounting software, and Patty might be able to speak on how that was tracked. So I don't think any of us in here know how that money was spent or how.
Well, my question is because it says that it was like basically the expense was to Kenosha County Sheriff's Department and to Johnson Bank. So if that money was as in a check that someone cashed at a bank that was written out to Kenosha Sheriff's Department, there's an issue with that because the bank should not be cashing checks.
If they bought a group of prizes, how do they go about getting reimbursed for that?
Well, right now, the deputy who's in charge, is going to have a P card. In the event that they, for some reason, prior to you getting one issued, mm-hmm. needed to go and buy a prize, you would purchase it on your own card and then submit a TR1 for reimbursement.
Right, and that's how it looks nowadays, mm-hmm. the past few years. This was previous. So
we didn't have P cards
right.
back that then. Many years ago.
Yeah. Right, and so my question is, who was the check written out to, and how was it actually funded? Not funded, was it like literally a check given to someone that they cashed at the bank? And so if
Nancy Otis isn't here anymore.
Yeah.
Nancy would have been in charge of that. And for those of you that know Nancy Otis, she was a stickler for making sure everything matched perfectly. So, and I know she won't come in here and answer the question.
Well, okay, so would Deputy Rowe know because he was the deer officer then, or do you think he wouldn't know?
When was it?
So it was for several years, 2008, 2013.
Cash as well?
No, that's different. It would say, okay.
So those years. He would have never seen this.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. All right. But if you could find that out, possibly.
I can try. Do you know if Johnson even keeps pictures of checks for that long?
No, 7 years.
Probably. Yeah, 3 years that we have access to.
Okay. They have to keep 7 years, but okay. There was a donation for a healthy snack program to the Sharing Center for $5,000. What was that for?
That was several years ago.
That was 2010.
Yep. That was the Sharing Center. They were looking for sponsors to, they wanted every kid in the schools. They got snacks to every kid in the schools. And I don't remember the time frame. Again, that was 12 years ago. But the Sharing Center talked us into helping buy into food for the kids in the schools. It was snack bars, and they bought pallets of them to make sure the kids each day of school got something when they came into school. I'm pretty sure if I remember right.
Okay, that brings up a question that just popped in my head. People, like organizations, just come to DARE and ask for donations?
Sometimes they do. That was the when, again, it goes back to, it was with kids in the schools, so that was something that we did.
So if it, so anything that has to do with kids, that people just feel that the DARE program will fund something, just because it's
if they want to ask, they can certainly write a pass. We don't agree to everything.
Okay.
All right. Do you have something, Supervisor Decker? We'd be happy to entertain.
No, I don't have anything. It's just I didn't realize that the DARE program was this grant-making program. You know, the DARE fund was grant-making to other organizations. And then you talked about the Right Neighborhood Project, and now that you explained that that purchase for $13,000 whatever was for a bus, then we felt that we should be fixing the bus and spending thousands of dollars on fixing this bus in after we purchased it?
We helped keep the Frank Neighborhood Project going, yes.
Okay. What are we doing with the Frank Neighborhood Project now?
Nothing, ma'am.
What changed that we stopped?
Pastor Harris moved.
So it was specifically because of
Pastor
Harris?
Force.
Is the Frank Neighborhood Project, because I Googled it, and it's at least it was underneath the Boys and Girls Club. Is it defunct now, or is it still something going
I'm
on?
I'm not part of it anymore. It could still be at the Boys and Girls Club. I don't know. Heather Connolly, Pastor Harris, and myself were kind of the driving forces between the Frank Neighborhood Project back then.
Okay. All right.
Heather Connolly moved to the EOC. Pastor Harris is gone, and it kind of died after that.
Fizzled. Okay. In 2013, there was a journal entry, and that's what it was labeled under, was journal entry, so I don't know exactly what that means, for the cost for a UTV for $3,300. What was that for?
I don't remember off the top of my head.
It's because it says cost to upfit cost for the UTV.
Oh, that could be we had golf carts that we had decked out with DARE and Sheriff's Department. One was a maroon, one was a black one. We had it painted, I bet it was. And we drove them around at different functions and stuff at the DARE golf outing. And they went to different schools. I think we had them at the high schools for a little while for the school resource officers.
Grades, different school functions, different safety fairs, things like that, just kind of a... Yeah. I mean, that's what I recall of them. I remember seeing them.
We ended up selling them, and we stopped using them.
What was the purpose of that? Just to look cool and
community
have fun?
Public relations.
It brings kids around, right? I mean, just think about 2013. That was kind of cool back then. I mean, now golf carts are making a comeback, right?
No, UTVs are.
I think it was more of a PR thing. I mean, look, as a deputy looking at him, I was like, well, that's pretty cool. I want to drive one of those around.
Okay, but how did that, like, help the DARE program?
It helps attract attention to it. I don't know. I mean, I'm only speaking from, I mean, you're talking about 9 years ago. I didn't sit in the same seat I sit in now.
Okay. Then there's an expense in 2014 for over $13,000. For a program, it was made out to Computer Cop for Computer Cop DVDs. I looked that up. Can you explain what that is?
Yeah, we gave out DVDs for families. It dealt with internet safety. And we bought into this program and we handed out the DVDs at the schools. We handed them out at the fairs and things like that. It dealt with internet safety.
Okay, and are they still being handed out?
That technology
online.
Is so old. No, they're not, they're
well,
not being handed out.
I looked online and it says that it was basically spyware.
Everything is spyware.
Well, we shouldn't be handing out spyware.
They aren't handed out.
At the time. I mean,
they have not been handed out.
All the schools handed them out, and that, like, the schools, they came to us and said, it's a good program. We would like, you know, you guys to hand this out to the kids. So it was part of the DARE, like, they handed it out to every DARE student. So maybe every computer in the county now is spyware.
Well, by 2014, a lot of people don't have those computers anymore.
Right, but we never had any, I mean, from what I remember, there's never any complaints other than they take up a lot of storage room in our DARE closet for a long time.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. I mean, we handed out. I mean, I remember it was almost like trick or treat type stuff, just giving them out like with stickers.
Okay, all right, I'll just hold my opinion myself. That's all the questions I have.
Can I follow up or redirect a couple, or you want to move on?
No, I'm good. Oh, yeah, actually, on the accounting, there's deposits for court-ordered restitution. What is that?
Back when I first started doing the DARE program, we talked the judges, some of them, into, if it was a drug charge, they would actually make the client, the inmate, pay $75, $25, $100 toward the DARE program if they got charged with a crime.
And that's, there's, it's still, obviously they're still paying it, like $75 period, and that, then it was?
It all depends on what the judge made them do.
Okay, interesting.
They haven't paid, I don't think they've paid that in years.
So the ones that we are still receiving restitution payments on are very old cases.
It's like, what is this?
And I don't know if you're familiar with restitution payments, but sometimes we get checks for 25 cents. It could take a long time for them to finally meet their restitution.
Okay, all right. And I just found that, it's like, what is this? Yeah. So that's it.
Sheriff Bethy, you said that when organizations reach out to you or whoever for DARE, for funding for their separate organization, that you don't have to say no. Have there been instances where the Sheriff's Department has said no?
I don't know. I don't remember.
When you were explaining the approval process, it was a little bit different. I think, Captain Miller, you chimed in there as well. It was different from what we were told last month, how approval works. We were told last month that it starts with the DARE officer, either the full-time or the part-time officers. They make a request. It goes immediately to yourself, Captain Miller, or the sheriff.
It will go to the sergeant. So it follows a chain of command. That's the easiest way to think about it. And it all depends on the amount of the purchase. Right? If they may go directly to Angela and say, I need to use my P-card to purchase workbooks. Right? It's probably not going to happen. But there is a possibility that that could happen. But anything has to go on a PR. It gets submitted to their direct supervisor, who is Sergeant Wright, who then submits it to his lieutenant, who then submits it to me. And if it's something that I need to talk to the chief about, I will talk to him about it. It's something that's standard. We talk about the PR stuff, like their, you know, T-shirts, wristbands, the dog tags that I know were brought up right there. Those are just like little DARE dog tags. Anything that's purchased is all purchased through DARE of America. And that stuff would just come through the standard process. So there is many levels. The ultimate approval comes from, you know, myself with the, you know, with me talking to the sheriff and chief. They're not actually putting their signature on it. However, in my absence, the sheriff can approve anything he wants, whenever he wants, right? It doesn't, they don't need to follow it through me. They can just, you know, if it's something that, you know, they just go to the sheriff and they're talking about it and the sheriff approves it, then it's approved, right? I mean, he's the sheriff, so.
Okay, what is the balance of the DARE fund today? You've had the golf outing, you collected that money, what is that number?
So we're still missing the invoice from Nipersink. But right now, the DARE balance is at $142,883.65.
What has that invoice from Nipersink looked like in the past?
Like $7,000. Thank you, sure. $7,000. Nipersink right here, well, this that was
$2,000. Yeah.
You can't even look back.
Yeah.
Deputy Root, do you know, I know you helped plan this year's?
It was $6,170 in 2020. So there's an estimate.
And how much was raised this year at the golf outing?
The total, I think Angela would have to have that.
Let me see. Roughly $67,000. And the expenses for the golf outing were roughly $30,000 without the numbers and companies.
So $37,000, probably $38,000.
Probably. probably close to 30,000.
What did she say? Was it? You said it was 30,000 so far, but that's without the nipper sink.
Nipper sink was not
profit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was 67,000 raised, expenses 30,000 plus nipper sink.
Plus nipper.
37.
Yeah. Which is probably about 37,000.
So $30,000 trade-off.
And then to go back on Supervisor Decker's question with the checks made out. I can't speak for Supervisor Decker or other people on the committee, but I'd like additional answers on that. I suspect Deputy Rowe would know if you mentioned Nancy. I didn't catch her last name. Is Otis, O-T-I-S? Nancy Otis is not with the county anymore. She retired. Okay. She's not employed by the county, and you know she's not available to answer that, but I think we need answers on that.
What do you want an answer for? I don't really understand what you're asking.
It was asked, there was a $3,000 check made out to Kenosha County Sheriff's Department and a $4,500 check to Johnson Bank.
That happened more than once. That was
happened
two
several times.
Do you have
times.
One of these that you can narrow it down for and I'll get a hold of somebody?
Yep, sure. I've got two. On June 11,
2008,
there was a $3,000 check written out to the Sheriff's Department. And on June 26, 2013, there was a $4,500 check written out to Johnson Bank for golf outing prices.
Written out to us, wouldn't that be a reimbursement for a budget line item?
That's probably what it is. But do you have the, because I don't, those were so old, I don't keep them in my like day-to-day files. Do you have the check numbers? Are they written on there?
Is that the PO voucher?
626-2013,
$4,500. Oh, 2013.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
To Johnson Bank.
Yeah, I'll try to get a hold of Nancy, because like I said, Ray doesn't do this.
And that sounded like it was for gift reimbursement, you said, Supervisor Decker?
It says advance to purchase golf outing prices. You ready for the Johnson Bank one? 13020105. Okay. And the other one. It is PV8022384.
So I'm just looking here. So it might be the same thing because it's for the same amount, but in 2012, there was a check for Johnson Bank with a caveat that says purchase gift cards to buy golf outing prizes. So,
And they did that numerous years in here. The checks were, the line item says the vendor was Kenosha Sheriff's Department. And in several years, the vendor listed was Johnson Bank.
Yeah.
And it's obvious that they were used to purchase prizes, which I'm not questioning that. I'm questioning who the check or who it was actually paid to, because the Kenosha Sheriff's Department can't write a check out and cash it itself to the Kenosha Sheriff's Department.
No.
That's what I'm questioning.
Right. And if that's a reimbursement for lineup, Angela will check into that.
Yes.
My question is higher level than that. These are things that happened in 2008, 2013. In the 7-year history, did you see this practice repeated, or since there's been T-card, says this practice ended?
It looks like it's ended,
okay.
But what I'm questioning, because, and I assume you know, because I worked at a bank, you cannot cash a check written out to a business unless it's an LLC, or unless it's sole proprietorship. Cash a check made out to a bank unless your name is actually on the check, because
I work for a bank too.
So yeah. That's what I'm questioning.
Sure.
And you know why that is,
because yeah.
We have lots of checks coming in to the Sheriff's Department to Kenosha County, that if the banks are allowing people to cash checks that way, something bad could be happening.
Sure. And one thing that I want to let you guys know also, these reconciliations that you guys have, these are our internal working papers.
Okay.
This is not something that we printed out from our enterprise resource system. So this is something that's kind of done by hand for us to be able to see that what we have in a written record matches what's in our automated system.
And it may be your shorthand, and that's what I'm questioning. I'm hoping it is, because if it's not, then there's issues.
Yeah.
Not with DARE, but in general, that
sure,
procedure.
And that's probably what it is that it's just shorthand for labeling what it was.
Okay.
And I'm sorry, I missed the last few digits of that last check number, PV8022.
Give me a sec, I gotta look it up again, sorry.
105?
I thought it was 105.
PV8022384. You weren't even close.
Oh. 105 was the last one.
That was the other one. Yeah. Okay. Just one off.
Sheriff, the reason I am suggesting Deputy Rowe is, because to my knowledge, Deputy Rowe has been the longtime person going out and buying the prizes. Is that correct? Who else could it have been, if anybody?
I don't know, but you're asking questions about this. This would be Nancy.
Okay. I think that's all I have, Supervisor Bashaw.
Yeah, just kind of a broader base statement. I don't believe any of the questions are designed to attack DARE. DARE's good, doing good work. From the commentary, I would say the DARE program is managed or administrated in a much more ad hoc manner than a $150,000 budget would assume. So it's the management side of it that catches my attention when it's a ratio, you know, 1-to-1 on cost to return on investment for an outing. The amount of applied resources toward the program itself versus fundraising, or I'll call them niceties, tchotchkes is what we call them, giveaways, is out of proportion. So a strategic plan, a budget, a goals and objectives, measures of outcomes, those are the things I look for. No, I manage 85 different salespeople, and they like to do a lot of things with my money too. So it's important that we have structural elements in place, is the way I'd say it, to help give clarity to it. Because when we start going through the numbers and I start looking at the information, what stood out to me was like, this is a very ad hoc organized methodology for utilizing a resource. And then the one that really got my attention was DARE funds being used. And lunchboxes are great. I understand officers, time, all good intention, but DARE resource for that expenditure seems odd. It really just seems very odd why DARE resources would go toward that rather than Sheriff Department resources. I understand you combine the two, they go into the same bucket, and at some point they're all one part of the slush. But when we're giving monies to DARE, as citizens, you expect that then to be DARE actionable resources. So those things just catch your attention. Our job is oversight, trying to understand it, seeking first to understand, and then go from there. So to me, bottom line summary, and yes, I have a nice spreadsheet that took everything that we had and put it together and tried to break it down and understand it a little bit further. It seems like it's just managed in an ad hoc manner, okay? And I'm sure you guys can attest to the program if you've gone through it and say, this is awesome stuff, what are you talking about? Don't take it away, how dare you? Pun intended. So, but thank you for being here on my behalf, I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Supervisor Kowalski?
Yes, Sheriff Beth. How many days, minutes, and seconds is there till you retire? Saying with a smile.
He's counting them now.
That's what I thought. I'm just trying to add some levity.
A little less than 4 months.
Okay. That's all I have.
Supervisor Thomas? Yeah,
just a couple questions. I'm just looking at like the mission statement, I guess, it's for DARE. I'm not going to read it, but I think, and me personally, I don't think anyone else here wants to nearly micromanage anything based on the questions they're asking or just trying to get a, I don't think, at least as I read this, it doesn't look like all the expenses reflect the mission statement that I'm reading for DARE. And maybe that's some of the concerns on how the money is spent. Just a suggestion for you guys to contemplate. It sounds like everything, there's a separate organization from the Sheriff's Department, but only the people within the Sheriff's Department make decisions on how the money is spent. I would have two principals or vice principals or somewhere, two of them west of the eye, that's where you mostly serve, be on a DARE board to help direct where the money should be spent. And I think you should come up like within November, December, what are the priorities for the coming year to make sure that the money that's generated hit these top, whatever those top 12 priorities are first. So if you get asked for $5,000 from the sharing center, you can look and say, you know what, that's not a priority. We're sorry, but this doesn't reflect the mission statement that we have for DARE nationally or locally. That way, no one will question on why you're spending money on coolers or something else. You say, you know, here's what we budgeted for the year. It's based on generating, we'll say, a net $60,000 every year, whatever that might be. And this is how we're going to spend that $60,000. For some reason, we raise more than that, then some of it gets carried forward. Some of it maybe goes into, you can do some other, let's say, grants from other organizations that reflect the mission statement that you can't do personally, whether it's Boys and Girls Club or getting youth supervision, whatever it might be, right? The other thing I would do is that, and I think this is where we come into a level of accountability, and I don't know this answer, so I'll ask. So it sounds like a lot of the people that oversee how this money is spent are on the county's payroll when they're making these decisions. So that's when it comes under our supervision on how much time is spent outside of yourself, the two part-time officers and yourself making decisions that oversee that department. That's what would be of interest to us, is how much time, like at a golf outing, do we actually have paid deputies that are there working overtime as part of that? Are there other officers involved in fundraising efforts while they're on duty? Are there? So those are the things that I think that we would have, because if collectively that comes into whatever, 100 hours that we're paying for, you know, that would be a significant amount of money. That'd probably be $10,000-$12,000. I'm guessing somewhere right around there if we had 100 hours of overtime. So if that is the case, I would like that somehow reported on what the cost of DARE is to the county. I'm not saying we shouldn't spend it. I'm just saying that we should know that in addition to $70,000 that's spent, that the county also contributed $100,000 in overtime to that program as well. And I don't know how to, I don't know if it's possible to track that or if I have a rough idea, but maybe I'm completely off base and every officer is volunteering their time.
You're not close. So it's in the, if there's any overtime, teams, it would be in the single digits of both teams.
Okay. So yeah, I don't know. It's just out of ignorance. That's why I'm asking the question.
So the only officers that are on duty are the DARE officers. Everyone else is volunteering.
Okay.
Everyone else is volunteering.
Thanks for clarifying. To go off of that.
Can I clarify something too? Supervisor Vashaw, you were talking about the expenses for the golf outing. Mm-hmm. Supervisor Thomas, you were talking about fundraising income of $60,000. I want to make sure that everybody understands that the sole source of income is some donations and the golf outing. If it were not for the expenses for the golf outing, there would be no golf outing and there would be no revenue at all for the DARE program. So although the comparison was made to gross golf outing revenues, I feel like it should have been made to net golf outing revenues, and the net golf outing revenues are about $25,000 to $30,000 a year. So the budget isn't $60,000. The budget is $30,000, and the program expenses come close to 50% of that. Depending on the year, COVID years were virtually nothing, and some years were lower than others, but if workbooks were ordered for multiple years, that explains kind of that fluctuation. Some of it goes for training, some of it goes for conferences, and yes, there were some unusual things. But the expenditures to the golf outing itself are part of the fundraising efforts to get the revenue in the door.
Yeah, thank you, Patty. I don't think anybody's disputing that. We all understand that. There's a trade-off to it. When I looked at several different consulting organizations, what they say that ratio should be, however, the ratio is extremely high for us. We're on a one-to-one, almost a one-to-one. And that's very, very high for a, I'll call it a nonprofit, even though it's a charitable activity. It should be somewhere around 30% cost. So we're expending a lot of capital to bring in an amount of capital. So my point to better budgeting, planning strategy, et cetera, is how do you manage that and do it more effectively? Back to the comment earlier, nobody's looking to defund, dismantle, or get rid of. We're trying to understand what and how, and then understand it more from a professional business perspective, what's actually there. Different question. You said we have one officer allocated, and back from the 80s during Clinton, we lost the extra officers. We haven't asked to rebudget another officer and add two full-time heads to it. What's the full-time head cost us?
90?
It depends on, I guess, if we were to get a brand new deputy, those start at about 86. If we got someone who'd been with the department for a few years, we could be looking at over 100. So it really depends on who ends up.
So that's a salary.
Rounded off 100 to 150, 150 a year, including vehicle and other attributes?
100 for a deputy.
Yeah.
100?
Round number.
Okay.
And that's with all of the benefits that we would have to pay. And
it's not an extreme amount when we're talking about the drug problems we have in our communities and what's happening right now. If the benefit is there. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
I have one more question.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Supervisor Thomas mentioned the board of directors. What is the role of the board of directors? For DARE.
We had board of directors when the program first started in 89. That lasted about 3 years. And Sheriff Zarletti, he eliminated that and it never really continued. And I don't know why. It isn't something we couldn't do.
But it's listed on your programs that you have a board of directors.
Yeah.
2018, DARE Board of Directors, Pat Demos, Gail Rysik, Michael Gravely, Bruce Hasse, and Dave Berman.
Yeah, it really hasn't been updated.
It's different every year. In 2019, Pat Demos, Bruce Hasse, Dave Berman, Robert Peroni, Gail Rysik is honorary.
Okay. So to answer part of that, so at the DARE golf outing, they do they come up and we do a little recognition. And I haven't organized one of the DARE board meetings yet, and I haven't attended one yet, but Ray Rowe would have an annual, I think, I don't know if it's once or twice a year, a board meeting, which they talk about, you know, what they're doing with the DARE program and the future, and things like that. Again, I haven't attended one, and it's one of those, Ray's still on the department, and I ask him questions about, you know, as I'm still transitioning to full-time, you know, and there's certain things that I'm still need to learn. So again, okay. But the DARE board is intact, and as far as I know, and as far as organizing the next meeting and discussing future plans for DARE, that'll be in the future.
Okay, thank you.
Sheriff Beth, those questions that you said, maybe Nancy is willing to answer for you. Can you reach out to her? If you can either come back to us next month or just shoot us an email, that always works too.
Happy to.
Any other business allowed by law before we leave? Thank you, Sheriff Beth, Deputy Rude.
Thank you, everyone.
We need to set, and Sheriff Beth, you might want to stay here for this, we need to set a budget hearing day. For the budget hearing.
I thought you were skipping that this year.
I have the dates of the other committees. If everybody wants to open up their calendar. I'm not sure what committee everybody's on. The budget address is going to be on October 4th this year, county board meeting. We will then meet on the 5th for our regular committee meeting, but then we need to meet again to approve the budget. PDEC is meeting on the 12th. Public Works is meeting on the 17th. Legislative is meeting on the 18th. Human Services is meeting on the 19th. Finance is meeting on the 13th for their regular meeting and their budget, but just solely goes to them. And then the 18th as well, we have a county board meeting. And then Finance starts their review on the week of the 24th. So we need to meet, I'm thinking, probably the weekend or the week of the 17th.
But you said the 17th is taken, the 18th?
18th, 19th. So we could meet potentially the 20th, which is a Thursday.
Is that Finance though?
I have Finance in on that day.
Yeah.
So Finance is moved.
Is on the 13th.
Yeah, Finance okay. is on the 13th.
20th works for me.
I'm good.
20th works for me. We can't do it that same night. Is the 5th? Is that too soon?
No, I think that's too soon.
Is that the next one?
I'll make Armenian food that night.
The 20th, does that work for you, Sheriff?
You pick a day and time, we'll be there.
6:30
start. Yeah.
Or is that normal or is it 6?
You want to go 6?
We can do, why don't we do 6?
Okay.
6
o'clock, October 20th.
Okay. Right. Anything further from anybody?
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Motion and a second. All those in favor, you?
Sure.
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
We're adjourned.
Oh, I'm you. I'm wishful.